First of all, I would like to express my gratitude for the invitation to come to Jyväskylä. It is my first time in Finland and also the first time to attend an art tapestry exhibition. To be here in person feels amazing after such a long time of limited travel and virtual networking due to the pandemic. Against the backdrop of the current situation in the Ukraine, that is generating death and destruction and has changed the daily life of thousands of people, we can feel fortunate that our lives are not in danger and our houses are still whole. It is a privilege and at the same time a responsibility to put our energy towards continuing our work, realizing creative projects and strengthening our communities. We can show one another our best intentions of peaceful and respectful coexistence, despite or just because of these dark and heavy clouds of pessimism that may overcome us. The battlefield may be far away, but we can use our common sense and humanity wherever we are and provide evidence of the good in people and the power of human creativity. It is also new for me to be the one who opens a seminar and to see myself in front of a numerous audience here in the Museum of Central Finland and wherever you are watching the meeting on your screens. I have no academic background, so what I would like to talk to you about today is deeply rooted in the everyday experience of a woman, mother, artist, tapestry weaver, and a social political activist. To be here, to have you as my audience is a wonderful opportunity because the projects that I will present to you now emerged from the desire to create and grow a community, and that does not work without the will and the energy of individual people. Before I start to speak about the Cuckoo Mobile, I would like to introduce myself for those who do not know anything about me, which may be most of you. It was my art teacher at school and his wife who encouraged me to choose the artistic path. So, in 1984, I made up my mind and ended up in Aubusson, in France, at the École Nationale d'Art Décoratif, where I found my means of expression in tapestry weaving. The equal union of drawing and weaving, of craft and art, captivated me. And the slowness of the process seemed to me a particularity that complemented my character. In 1986, I moved to the capital of Spain. I finished my first tapestry called Nicaragua in 1987. It was the first piece in what would later become a series of works based in the idea of décollage. They were inspired by and remind of an element of urban landscape, sure faces covered with the bark of countless layers of wall advertisement, exposed to the elements and the randomness of human intervention, mixed with graffitis and other additions. At this time, I was working at home on a provisional loom made of scaffolding. Over the years, the loom became a proper Danish wooden high loom, the material I worked with became less raw, the tapestries bigger, the compositions more complex, my skills better, and my own artistic language clearer. As the tapestries started to be shown around the world, I started to think about how I could share tapestry weaving with people beyond exhibitions. How I could show them the magic of the process of tapestry weaving and its affinity to life. I began to present my tapestry in other contexts, not always expected to be exhibition spaces for artwork. I also decided to hang them far away from the wall. In all the museums I would visit, I would see tapestries covering walls and fixed to walls. So I grew up with the association between tapestry and wall. But through my own experience in the studio, I became aware of the importance of contemplating both sides of a tapestry to understand not only the process of weaving, but also, maybe on a more philosophical level, the similarities between tapestry and life, between the inner world and the one we show in public. In my understanding, it is like yin and yang. Both are important to understand a tapestry in its entireness. And by the way, It makes it easier to show them in public spaces because you prevent the visitor's impulse to pick up a corner and check how the back looks. In 2007, we, that means my husband, our two children and I, decided to leave Madrid and settle down in the rural area in the north of Spain. We looked for a place to live and I looked for a place to continue my artistic practice. In 2010, we found Bauz in Aguilar de Campo, a small village of approximately 7,000 inhabitants, where we started a new enterprise, the Cuckoo Project, an open space of artistic and cultural activities. An important part of this project was an open artist studio. Up to this moment, my workshop was tightly interwoven with our family private space. Now people could see me working on the loom, they could follow along the growth of a tapestry, and I could offer my first workshops. They were followed by a one-year educational program in tapestry weaving, where I got the chance to pass on my knowledge to others. And I realized that knowledge transfer is as important for me as my own artistic production. In 2013, we had to close the Cuckoo Project, and I kept the threads of life that I had spun over all those years in my luggage, waiting for a moment to unwind them when the time and the place were right. Precisely these threads are the foundation of the idea of the Cuckoo Mobile. European identity. Poland, Czech Republic, Germany, France, Spain. I feel myself and my family deeply rooted in a European context, not only geographically, that is obvious, but also in a cultural and socio-political one. I want to have a part in the construction of a Europe based on the values of respect, solidarity, equality, awareness and welfare. Nomadic spirit. I need to move and I love moving. If there is a place where I feel rooted, a place I would call home, a place deeply connected to my soul and mind, I think it is in front of my loom. So the question came up to me, how do I make a big high loom movable even while it is in the midst of a long-term process of tapestry weaving? Community and knowledge transfer. I see myself as a link in a long chain of collective wisdom and heritage, and I feel that it is also up to me to preserve, to use, develop and keep it alive for the next generations. Sustainability, resilience and slowdown. For quite some time now, we know that sustainability is a must if humankind wants to have a future on this planet. We have to find a balance, an individual and a collective one. This also means that we have to think about what sets us apart from other living beings. We have the potential of empathy, of creativity, inventive genius and intellectual power, and the ability to reason and to envision. I am convinced that if we start to dedicate more and more resources and time to realizing this potential, our future would be more prosperous on an individual and collective scale. So, I came to Berlin in 2017. Because I did not have a studio in the beginning, I started to build small transportable weaving frames and to weave in public spaces, parks, traffic islands, market squares. After a year, in 2018, a project crossed my path, the Kulturmarkthalle, a sort of cultural center managed by a small community of people from different backgrounds, brought together by the shared intention of creating a place of artistic and cultural activities for the neighborhood. In 2019, my loom found its way in and I started my Berlin tapestry. Last July, after 2 years of lockdowns, restrictions, we were finally able to celebrate the ceremony of the cutting off as a public event open to all the people who had witnessed and participated in the creative process. And I also found a community and breeding ground for my idea of the Kuckuckmobile in Berlin. I found a community of people engaged in the research of and experimentation with new concepts of living, working, caring and creating, involved with the tiny house concept. Even though the Kuckuckmobile is not a proper tiny house, it is based on the philosophy of minimalism and mobility. And here we are, coming up to the moment when the idea of the Kuckuckmobile becomes reality. So, what is the Kuckuckmobile all about? The short description I wrote some months ago sounds like this. The Kuckuckmobile is an artistic studio on wheels, big enough for a high warp loom and small enough to easily traverse the European continent and establish temporary weaving stations along the way. The route begins in Portugal's Atlantic coast and zigzags across the European mainland until it reaches the Black Sea. On the high warp loom, a large format tapestry will take shape over several years, woven using the traditional Gobelin technique. The starting point is a cartoon that I will begin to design ahead of time and which will be completed with research on site. Alongside the creation of the tapestry, there will be workshops that give insight into the fundamentals of weaving and the complexity of a tapestry creative and development process. But the Kuckuckmobile is not only an artistic workspace and showroom. It also sees itself as a seeker of textile, cultural and geopolitical identities, a knowledge keeper and knowledge giver in equal parts. In the best of cases, it will be an instigator of new connections and a catalyst of a European spirit and identity that is already alive in many heads and hearts, despite and even because of the tense situation we experience just now in the European continent. As was to be expected, the experiences and thoughts that have characterized my life up to this moment show up in the Kuckuckmobile. Many of them I hope to improve by putting them in practice and by learning from the people and projects I will meet on my way through Europe. Let me dwell on each of these thoughts for a moment. The first one, the technique, the future of crafts, and the importance of cultural heritage. In my more than 30 years of tapestry weaving, I got used to explain that ancient does not necessarily mean antiquated, in the sense of old-fashioned. And when I say old-fashioned, I don't mean vintage. I am referring to things that one does not want to deal with or take care of. For me, talking about tapestry requires honoring where this technique comes from, with gratitude towards the millions of minds and hands that have spent a part of their lifetime using and furthering these techniques to keep them relevant in each moment of history. When we look around, we bear witness that the disappearance of many crafts, because in terms of production and economic efficiency, they cannot compete with the pace set by industrialization, globalization and consumerism. Some of them cling to survival in specific niches, thanks to the passion and commitment of a small group of individuals. We are also on the verge of losing other essential elements of knowledge transfer, the places where young people can learn these ancient techniques from experts, in practice. The understanding that to master a craft is not something you can do casually. It needs time for practice. It needs providers for specialized materials and tools. And it needs a society that values cultural heritage as a collective treasure and a collective responsibility. So we have to foreground new purposes of crafts, a way to get in contact with ourselves and find balance, a tangible metaphor of life and interconnectivity, and a bridge between the individual and the collective. Over the years, I also got used to having to explain more and more frequently what weaving is and how it works at a very basic level. As has happened to many other crafts, we have lost weaving as a part of our daily life, and what the eye does not see, the heart does not grieve over. The second thought is a question of dimension and time. The history of humankind is too long and too diverse to find the exact point where our spirit changed. Maybe there is no such point. Maybe it has been a slow, smooth process, so slow and so smooth that we did not realize that the idea of getting more, being faster, rising higher, in order to have more than others, led us away from a way of being grounded in community. The value of the common good can still be founded in some communities. It has to be awakened again in ours, to counter the self-imposed drive to accumulate individual property at unreasonable rates. The seemingly unlimited imagination that humans have is very seductive. We can fly to the moon and beyond. We can invent instruments to kill each other across thousands of miles, and we can heal innumerable diseases. The most difficult challenge for us may be to realize that being able to imagine something does not mean we always have to do it. A certain containment based on wisdom and intelligence may be good for our collective well-being. That means that it will be necessary for all of us, individually and collectively, to find a sustainable measure of what we need to do, achieve, and own to satisfy our deep-rooted desire for self-realization. In the context of the climate crisis, there is no other way out of the escalation, and this mistaken idea of progress based only on linear and quantitative growth. Since external growth will have to be limited, we should shift our focus toward growing our inner world and cultivating our creativity, imagination, inventiveness, empathy, and common sense. In my workshops, I see a growing number of students who are looking for an opportunity to go back to the practical roots of the theory that they have learned at university. They are searching for a very direct and emotion-driven approach to their field of study. I am convinced of the importance of collective experiences that are firmly grounded in our senses. If it is true that the way to a person's heart is through their stomach, I think we can also say that the way to a person's creativity is through their hands. Time is the resource that makes art practice and craftsmanship so extraordinary. Time is an important resource, but so is income. This question concerns the world of teaching and practicing art and crafts. How do we build structures to guarantee an income to both parties taking part in the transmission of knowledge for the entire duration of the process? How can we enable individuals to dedicate themselves to creativity free from financial burdens or stifling competitions? There is one tool, in my opinion, the idea of the unconditional basic income. And this will also be important for me in my travel through Europe. On my journey, I will not only look for interesting places with an affinity to the textile medium. I will also look for grassroots projects that try to put into practice alternative ways of living. The Cuckoo Mobile aims to connect these small-scale initiatives with other ones and strengthen the exchange of ideas and the building of worlds outside the dominant capitalist social order. There is a third thread left. At the same time that I decided to separate my tapestry from the wall, I also started to think about how to show people what tapestry weaving is about and how it works. I started to use small weaving frames in unusual places. Then I brought my big loom into a space open to the public. The Cuckoo Mobile is the next step. It makes the workspace movable so that I can weave on a big loom in any public space. Of course, this is not only about my work habits, it is about our shared understanding of how we govern public spaces. Who decides? How do we want to use them? How can we further the discussion about public spaces? The tiny house community gives a lot of thought to this question. To reduce the individual private space implies that many of our daily routines can be shared with others. This philosophy of sharing spaces includes the intention to become more sustainable and resilient as an individual and as a community. The transmission and exchange of knowledge does not only require open minds, but also open spaces. At the end of the journey through the conceptual world of the Cuckoo Mobile project, I would like to say some words about Europe. As you have heard, the course of my life has instilled in me a strong European identity. I have built a family as well as a collection of work that is deeply European. I have experienced Europe with internal borders and without them, and I definitely prefer the second one. I believe in the idea of Europe with a political, economic, and especially social structure built on the values of democracy, solidarity, and freedom. So when I refer to Europe, I do not mean the European Union, because I think it is still far away from reflecting these values. What I mean is the geographical and cultural European space built over 1,000 years of conflicts, trading, mutual growth, and collective progress. That is the basis that I want to work on and improve. So, facts on the first one, designing the tapestry. As I explained before, this tapestry was conceived as a metaphor of cohesion. In the textile sense, as it relates to the technique and the material, and in the figurative sense, as it relates to the social, cultural, and political context of Europe. So what will happen on the loom? The aim is to create one big European tapestry, and big means here about 2 meters 70 high and around 6 meters and a half long. I normally weave my tapestry sideways, turned 90 degrees, and 2 meters 70 is the maximum width my loom allows. The Berlin tapestry I wove from 2019 to 22 is in certain way a prototype. I was struggling with the question of how I could work on each portion of the tapestry at a different weaving station and at the same time ensure smooth transitions between them. That is how the diagonal emerges in my design. Weavers know very well that the diagonal is a wonderful method to break up big areas. We can put the accent on the diagonal, or we can make the diagonal disappear so that the whole area appears as one, without any technical difficulty. There will be time for research before I start the trip. In fact, I have already started. Some traditional textile elements will appear in the tapestry. It will be a little bit like a pattern book of the textile identities developed and preserved in each region of Europe. This part of the cartoon can be made beforehand. The rest is open and shall be completed in each weaving station, in order to provide a sort of snapshot of the place, if we can say this in tapestry weaving. What I mean is that I want to stay open for what I will find in each place or what will find me. The process of designing and shaping the tapestry on the spur of the moment is a central aspect of this project and at the same time a big challenge for me. I never close the cartoon to spontaneous modification or additions, because when you need 2 or 3 years to finish a tapestry, it is a good idea to leave space for the twists and turns of life. It maintains the emotional tension. But in this case, it will be even more important, because I do not know what I will find at each station or through whose eyes I will see the place that I visit. The inclusion of these dynamic elements into the tapestry will have to be done with a special awareness and a certain agility. I look forward to see whether this works for me or not. It is a true experiment that hopefully will result in a wonderful tapestry. Second fact is planning the route. The itinerary starts in Finisterre in the north of Spain. As I briefly mentioned earlier, I weave my tapestry sideways. That means that if the map of Europe serves as a frame of reference, it has to be turned 90 degrees, so that the Atlantic coast of Portugal constitutes the selvage of the tapestry on one side, and Iceland and Ireland on the other, with the ocean in between. I will start to travel south along the Portuguese coast and then following a zigzag itinerary, like a weaver's shuttle, and each time I reach a coast, I will turn around. Similar to the design of the tapestry, the itinerary will be a mixture of planning and spontaneity. The fact is, the Cucumobile and I will hitchhike, and that means that I cannot plan the itinerary in detail. I have to work with the willingness of the people who are volunteering themselves and their vehicles as tractors. This may sound strange at first, but as I can hardly imagine myself driving a car with a trailer, I came to the conclusion that it would be easier for me to be flexible with my time and itinerary and rely on people who like to drive for mobility. In any case, this project doesn't revolve around the idea of being 100% self-sufficient. It centers the belief that people make projects happen, and it aims to build community through collaboration. Some weeks ago, I learned about another initiative that started in 2013 with a similar philosophy. Two musicians traveled from Netherlands, where they were from, to Hungria. They called the project Looking for a Tow Hitch, and it worked out, which gives me confidence. The third fact left is the building of the Cucumobile. When I started thinking about the Cucumobile, and it was more or less 11 years ago, my first idea was to buy a construction trailer and to modify it as necessary. Then I came to Berlin, stumbled into the tiny house scene, where I met a lot of people exchanging the experiences of self-made tiny houses. I never felt enough confidence in my skills, and I never believed that I would be able to build the Cucumobile by myself up to the moment I met Gudrun. She is an autodidact carpenter and has taken part in several tiny house workshops based in the philosophy of collective building, and she was brave and generous enough to join the project and to take over the planning and the construction of the Cucumobile. We quickly established some guiding principles of the design. The Cucumobile was conceived as a workspace large enough to harbor the essential of a weaving studio: loom, materials and weaver. It would be as small as possible to make hitchhiking and parking easier. We also wanted to be accessible for all the people, and one construction element became important. A big window that nearly covers an entire wall of the Cucumobile and that can be opened completely once I arrive to a weaving station, allowing me to connect easily with passers-by. Beyond that, we are priorizing traditional techniques and sustainable materials. The Cucumobile will be built to withstand the various road and weather conditions it may encounter. It has to be recyclable or reusable at the end of the project, and we want to build together. following the slogan of our friends from the Tiny Collective. Those who work with their hands are laborers. Those who work with their hands and their head are craftsmen. Those who work with their hands and their head and their heart are artists. So let me come to the conclusion. Perhaps now the sentence of the beginning of my lecture makes more sense. You remember? It is a wonderful opportunity to present this project to you because it emerges from the desire to create and grow a community. And that does not work without the will and the energy of individual people. I am sure you can guess how the lecture will end. Of course, it is with an invitation to join the project. There are many ways to do so. You can weave with me, or suggest, even facilitate a weaving stop. You can be the local contact that connects me to a community, or have the number of an interesting cultural institution that I can work with. You can spread the word about this project through your networks. You can help with translations, photo and video documentation, and other things that may not have even occurred to me yet. Who knows? Maybe you want to help finance it. Please reach out if any of these possibilities speak to you. I don't know if Eduardo Galeano was a connoisseur of textile art. If he had been, he maybe have said, "Many small people doing small things can weave a big tapestry together." Thank you for your attention.